STSTONE.com.
The following program is being brought to you on the Voice America Business Channel. For more information about our network and to check our additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericabusiness.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the following program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.
Welcome to Stepping Stones to Everyday Success with Kimberly Stewart. If you are looking to make a difference to your work life as well as your personal life, this program is for you. We'll have stories, identify tools and techniques to help you in your everyday success, and answer your questions and hear your ideas. Now, here is your host, Kimberly Stewart.
Thank you, Voice America listeners. Thank you for tuning in to Stepping Stones to Everyday Success. I'm your host, Kimberly Stewart. And before I introduce my guest today, I'd like to take a few moments and give a few shout-outs to some folks. You know, I have always highlighted that my listeners are worldwide, that I have listeners on every single continent except for Antarctica, and I know you guys are going to help me get that Antarctica listener somewhere, sometime. But I really want to show you how worldwide we are by sharing and doing shout-outs with you every show to some of the regions that are listening, some of the regions around the world. And sometimes I'll give countries, sometimes I'll be a little bit more specific. It just depends on how the numbers and the metrics have come into me, and I'm going to give them back to you. So I'm going to do three shout-outs today to a few groups of listeners. The first one is to the U.S. military. You have been great, loyal listeners to my show. I appreciate all the times that you have tuned into the show, downloaded it from the internet while you are deployed abroad. It means so much to me, and I hope that the show that we brought to you right before Memorial Day with Elise Reese, who shared how she's helping military families stay strong, really hit home for you guys and really helped you guys in staying strong yourself. And we definitely appreciate your service. So thank you. And thank you for tuning in. Another group of listeners I'd like to do a shout out and thank very much is our German listeners. Germany has consistently been in the top listening base for me. You know, I have a special place in my heart for Germany. I am part German. My dad had the ancestry to Germany. So Germany, I have a special part. And there was a year that my husband and I managed to travel to Germany quite a bit. So we appreciate our German listeners, and we hope that you continue to listen, continue to be my top listening base, and share my show with your fellow colleagues and friends and family. And then, of course, I have to do a shout out to our gracious hosts of the World Cup. Brazil, you have been listening too, and we greatly appreciate it. We greatly appreciate you hosting the World Cup. We hope that you continue to listen to the show, and we hope that you continue to spread the word about what this show is about and why you enjoy listening to it. So thank you for listening, and thank you for hosting the World Cup. I know I and my family and my colleagues have really enjoyed not only watching the World Cup, but also talking about the World Cup and learning more about Brazil as the coverage shares with us. So thank you for all the listeners. Next week, I'll have three more areas of listeners around the world. So hopefully you will tune in and see if your area, your region is called out. And if you want to help get it called out, please email me, email the host, and send me a message about why you like listening to the show. And hopefully I can give a call out to your region. The second thing I'd like to do, every month I get a listing of my top 10 shows. So I'd like to share the top three on this show, the top three for May, and encourage you, if you want to see what were the top 10 shows for May, to go to my Facebook page. Like it And you can see on there, I've got posted the top 10 shows for May. So see if your favorite one is up on the top 10. And you can get to my Facebook. It's Stepping Stone Consulting is the Facebook page. But you can also get to it by going to my host page. There's a link there for my Facebook. Click on it. It'll go right to my my Facebook page. And I hope you like me on Facebook and check out the top 10 shows and let me know what you think should be in the top 10 and help make them there by listening and sharing my links. So the number one show for May was Surprise is the Spice of Life. That was aired on May 13th. If you haven't checked it out, you should. I encourage you to do so. I had four listeners on from that show, and they each shared their success stories and their tips and tidbits. The listeners were Cynthia Bailey, Janine Miller, Allison Dixon Kolaski, and I know I butchered that last name, and I apologize for that. And then, of course, my most loyal listener and the one that is closest to my heart, Ashley Stewart, my daughter. The number two show was actually an encore show. It was one that originally aired in November, and then I aired it again in May 6th. And that was Chesapeake Bay Foundation, Leading the Way to Sustainable Building. And that was with Mary Todd Winchester. And I greatly appreciate them sharing with us how they led the way in having a green headquarters building in Annapolis, and now they are building another green building down in the Virginia Beach region. And I look forward to seeing that building open up and seeing how they have kept it green and kept it sustainable, as Mary Todd shared with us. And then finally, rounding out the top three is actually a show from April 29th. So it was the last show in April. And it was Social Media, Make It Work For You with Melanie Dodaro, Top Dog Social Media. And she had launched, and she was launching the lead up to her book launch, The LinkedIn Code. That book launch debuted on June 3rd. I know that we were on LinkedIn and Twitter. And so I know that she had a great launch, and I hope that you not only check out the show to learn more about how you can make social media work for you, but that you also check out her book. So those are the top three. If you want to find out how the rest of the list goes, please go to my Facebook, like me on Facebook, and check out the list and provide me your feedback. So without further ado, I'd like to introduce today's guest. I'm very excited about today's guest. He is Kevin Morris and is author of White Man's Problems and the founding and managing partner of the entertainment law firm Morris Yorn et al., which specializes in representing actors, writers, and directors in the motion pictures and television industries. He is also the co-producer of the Tony Award-winning Broadway musical, The Book of Mormon, and producer of the classic documentary film, Hands on a Hard Body. He has written for the Wall Street Journal, Los Angeles Times, and Filmmaker Magazine. He lives with his wife and two children in Los Angeles, and you can find out more about Kevin Morris after the show at kevinmorrisauthor.com. Kevin, thank you for coming on to the show.
Thank you, Kim. Glad to be here.
Good. Well, I'm going to start it right off on how do you define success?
Oh, boy. Well, I mean, you know, that's probably the most important question we all face, you know, and I think the answer is probably the most personal and the most subjective. You know, how you measure success is actually one of the reasons I wrote the book, because, you know, the guy that, you know, my book is really about nine stories about nine guys, and they all share a sort of alienation as they get older. They've been hard workers and succeeded by society's standards, but they can't help feeling like they should be happier. You know, I think a lot of people measure success by happiness is a pretty good barometer. Mm-hmm. But you know, happiness is a pretty vague term, you know. I think we all have inner barometers inside of us to tell us whether we're happy or not. But, you know, you know, it's a real changing thing. I mean, success is constantly shape-shifting.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we're busy trying to define it, deal with it, not get jealous about others who have it, what have you. You know, and when we think we've achieved it, you know, we worry that we are deluded or we have redefined success just to make ourselves happy.
Right.
You know, that's a big one, and you can really sort of think yourself into a circle about it, and some people, and people have different measures of success. Some people think it's money, some people think it's happiness, some people think it's the happiness of others. You know, as a general rule, I think doing for others is probably a good sign of how successful you are. So I don't know if I have the most specific of answers. This is one of the things I like to write about. I've been around a lot of successful people, and by society standards, and I think it's not an objective thing. I think it's a subjective thing.
Yeah, and what I enjoy about doing this show is that I get to hear all the various answers and definitions, or kind of vague definitions of success for some. And I think you hit upon it in that, it is an extremely personal definition, and happiness is part of it, but everyone has their own definition and it's very personal. So I've got to ask you, in your personal definition of success, do you feel that you have achieved it, or you're on the way to achieve it?
I think, to be really honest with you, I think that I really feel like I feel like I've achieved a certain level, but I'm not satisfied, and the writing is a big part of it. I feel like I've just begun, and I think I can talk about that a little as we go on. But I demand a lot of myself, and I have high expectations, and I like to do everything well, and so and I'm self-critical, and maybe more so than other people. So I have an aversion to people who think that they're, who sort of stridently think they're successful. I think it's good to be self-deprecating and feel like you have a ways to go. And, I think it's good to be confident. I think it's good to be happy. But I also think people can be smug about their success, and that's really the worst to me. So, personally, I feel like I have, I have a lot of things I want to do, and a lot of things I want to accomplish, a lot more success that I want to find.
So I think that, with that in mind, I know that you just, you have published I believe it's your first book. Is that correct? White Man's Problems?
Yes, my first. I've been writing for a while, but it's my first collection of fiction. It's not, as I said, it's nine stories about nine men, and so it's very exciting for me. It's my first book.
Wonderful, and we are going to get into it a little bit on the next segment. But can you quickly tell us how you decided to write fiction, and this might be longer than just a quick second, and try your hand as a fiction writer?
Well, I'm an entertainment lawyer, which means I grew up in Philadelphia, and I moved out to Los Angeles after law school. I went to college at Cornell, and then went to law school at NYU, and I went straight out to L.A., and I took a very circuitous route to the world of entertainment law, but I ended up writing, representing actors and writers and directors in the field of film and television. And I got a firsthand look at the collaborative and difficult things that the collaborative and difficult nature of those forms of media. And since I was young, I've always been drawn to fiction and used literature sort of almost as a form of escape. And the combination of my lifelong love of literature and writing, combined with the fact that that on a professional level, I dealt with film and television, which are very collaborative things, led me to, you know, I don't even own a screenwriting program. I have no desire to do that. In writing, one of the things about writing fiction is it's just you. It's you and the page. I mean, you get, you know, you get input from editors and you have people look at what you write and so forth. But it's you know, I don't want to say you're in control, but you're in control. And, you know, I like that feeling. I like that feeling of it all being on me and my imagination.
Yep. So with that, and we're going to get more into sort of your journey to writing White Man's Problems and what's in White Man's Problems and your journey as an entertainment lawyer profession, but it is time for a break. So we will see everyone after this break.
We're always talking business.
Talk to an expert.
Call now, toll free, 866-472-5790. That's 866-472-5790. Voice America Business Network.
Stepping Stone Consulting, LLC, is a woman-owned small business focused on providing the stepping stones to program management success. We offer our government, nonprofit, and small business clients experienced program management professionals to meet their program's critical needs. Stepping Stone Consultants will meet your organization's programmatic requirements with short-term or long-term resources, coaching new program managers, and team-building and facilitation services. Stepping Stone Consulting will help you achieve the high-performance teams and program management sustainability your company desires. Stepping Stone Consulting builds strong partnerships with its clients based on trust, communication, integrity, and dependability. Visit steppingstone-llc.com to find out more about our services. You know that an improved team means improved productivity and a better bottom line. Put Stepping Stone Consultants to work for you. Contact us at kstewart@steppingstone-llc.com or call 703-620-2010 today.
If you want to know about investing in emerging and frontier markets, or if you have experience in this field but still need to know more, tune in to Emerging and Frontier Markets Investing with Gavin Graham. Gavin explores news, current trends, and insights about both categories of investing. His guest experts, along with his own knowledge, will help you stay above the line when it comes to growth potential, whether in funds or equities. He will look at what to invest in and avoid. Tune in to Emerging and Frontier Markets Investing with Gavin Graham every Wednesday at 9 a.m. Eastern Time, 6 a.m. Pacific Time on the Voice America Business Channel.
When it comes to business, you'll find the experts here. Voice America Business Network.
You are tuned in to Stepping Stones to Everyday Success with Kimberly Stewart. We want to hear from you today with your questions and comments. Please call into the program today at 1-866-472-5790. That's 1-866-472-5790. Or send an email to kstewart@steppingstone-llc.com. Now, back to the show.
Welcome back, Voice America listeners. Thank you for tuning back in to Stepping Stones to Everyday Success. I'm your host, Kimberly Stewart, and I have Kevin Morris. He is an entertainment lawyer and book author of White Man's Problems, a collection of 9 short stories. And so, Kevin, I'd like to ask you, what led you to do a book of short stories opposed to a novel?
Well, you know, when I sat down to write fiction, you know, after finally getting myself to the computer after 26 years of practicing law, which was a sort of lifetime goal of mine, I set out to write 9 stories in honor of J.D. Salinger and my favorite, you know, one of my favorite books, 9 Stories. I ended up writing about 5 stories and then a novel, and then I ended up writing about 8 or 9 more stories. And I'm tinkering with the novel, but I decided to put the stories out first because in a lot of ways, a lot of my favorite writers put stories out and grew into the novel form. You know, that's sort of James Joyce. I always think of James Joyce and how he did Double Lunars first, and then it grew from there. And there's a lot of other authors who have done the same thing. So I thought it was a natural beginning. I also think that the novel is a longer project. I intend to write both, and I will write both. And there's things I love about the short story that I think are sort of a great way to introduce yourself to the reading audience. And they're very different art forms, and I'm interested in exploring both. But the art form of the what I specifically had in mind was the sort of idea of nine men who go through the course of a lifetime. One of my protagonists is in ninth grade, and the oldest protagonist is 78. So I was very interested in sort of a collection of different guys who go through the cycle of life. And so that led naturally, and I want them to read nine different perspectives, so that led naturally to the short story form.
So I know that doing a little bit of research on this and looking at some of your interviews and other media segments, there's been questions about whether these stories are autobiographies. So tell us, are they autobiographies?
Well, it's a great question. I'm sort of a traditionalist. I believe that you write from your own experience. My favorite writers are sort of Pennsylvania based, writers who wrote a lot from events in their own lives, like John O'Hara and John Updike. John Updike's probably my favorite writer. And John Updike has a great quote about, the writer is sort of a snail and they leave their life. The snail moves along and leaves his life behind him, leaves the trail of his life behind him. But in the end, so of course things are autobiographical, but you take autobiographical material and then you really just make things up around it. And at the end of the day, the stuff that's truly, truly autobiographical ends up being very, very rarely in it. And if the little pieces that, as you edit a story down, the autobiographical stuff tends to be the worst stuff. So, it's a way of getting into your imagination. I think of the autobiographical material as the bricks and mortar for the writer. And some people can write complete fantasy, and some people can just get into worlds that have nothing to do with their own. I'm not a fantasy writer. That's not me. I try to write about real people and real events and real things that have happened to me, and guys that women would recognize and women that guys will recognize, and the everyday.
So, in talking about sort of your inspiration for the short stories, you mentioned a lot of great authors, writers, and some of my favorite ones, and some of the ones, J.D. Salinger, John Updike, some of these are names that I know I remember reading. There's both their novels as well as short stories, too. And I don't find that short stories are as prominent. Is it just that I'm out of touch with that group of writers that are now writing short stories, or is it sort of a dying way of writing and people?
Yeah, I think there's crazy stuff going on with the publishing industry in general. I think short stories don't sell. I think it's really unfortunate. I think the short story form has moved a lot to magazines and maybe even to the internet. The novel is very popular. The popularity of the novel remains. I think there's a serious problem with the drop in literary fiction. I think publishers stay away from it more, which is really unfortunate. And I think blockbusters I think the publishing industry tends more towards blockbusters, and blockbusters tend to be in the novel format. So, you know, it's a very sad thing to that we're moving away from the short story in some ways. But I think in some other ways it may be cyclical. There's been some fantastic collections of short stories in the past year. I think all serious writers work on the short story at least occasionally. I believe that very much.
Yeah. So, and I hope that, you know, you coming out with a short story book, you know, really helps get people, you know, it's kind of something different from what's normally out there, and it helps grasp people's attention and say, hey, I can read a full story in just, you know, less time than a novel. So I hope that that is successful, and I hope the show helps you be successful in that.
Well, thank you. And that's a really important thing. You know, Chekhov said that the short story is something caught out of the corner of the eye. And that's a quote that I love, because, you know, a novel tends to be, you know, obviously a long story with arcs and changes and an evolutionary tale about, you know, people and their lives. Whereas the short story can be about, you know, like Chekhov said, something caught out of the corner of the eye of the writer. It can tend to be about a decision or one event. You know, one of my stories is about a guy, you know, so caught up in his own head that he ends up running over his dog, you know, and that quickly, not to give it away, but that quickly gets him out of his own head. And, you know, those are important parts of life and important parts of literature as well, those things that happen quickly, or just those things you see out of the corner of your eye.
Yep, absolutely. So with that, how will you define the success of your book?
Well, that's a great question. You know, in some ways it's already been successful because, you know, I'm almost 51, and I've always wanted to write. I kind of, you know, had to, coming out of college, I wrote all the time as a young person and read all the time. And coming out of college, I had this sort of typical choice between law school and writing or some other form of, career, and I became a lawyer, and but my dream was always to pursue fiction, and fortunate enough my practice has yielded me the opportunity to dedicate, you know, 3 or 4 days a week to going to a different office and that I have in Santa Monica, and just dedicating myself to writing my fiction, and then you know, all night sometimes when I'm really going. So, you know, getting a book done and, you know, and actually finishing a novel and beginning to work on another novel and actually having stuff come out and getting positive response. You know, I got a couple of fantastic reviews from some difficult publications to get good reviews from. So those are very rewarding, and, you know, just getting positive feedback that I'm on the right track and that people love my stories. Yeah, that's a lot of success, right? That's a lot of success right there. You know, I'm not too worried about book sales or anything like that. As a definition of success, you know, I think, in some ways, seeing the book in my hands and knowing that my family, my friends, and strangers are reading it, and the things I want to get across to people are getting out there, and the things that are coming out of my imagination are getting out there are really important to me. The final thing I'll say, Kim, is that I think I'll judge the success of my book on whether or not it's the first of when my hero John Updike left home, he told his mother that he was going to fill. She had an empty room, and he told her that he was going to fill that room, and all the shelves in that room with books, and then he went on to do that. So I think I'll judge my success on whether or not I can fill a shelf of books. That's what I'm telling myself. I things got easier in doing this book when I told myself it was just going to be the first of many that I intended to do.
Well, I think that's a great way to define the success. And with that, It is time for another break. So you're listening to Stepping Stones to Everyday Success. I'm your host, Kimberly Stewart. I'm on with Kevin Morris, and we will hear more about White Man's Problems and his journey as an entertainment lawyer. So we will see you after this break.
The business community's first choice in Internet Talk Radio, Voice America Business Network.
Stepping Stone Consulting, LLC, is a woman-owned small business focused on providing the stepping stones to program management success. We offer our government, nonprofit, and small business clients experienced program management professionals to meet their program's critical needs. Stepping Stone Consultants will meet your organization's programmatic requirements with short-term or long-term resources, coaching new program managers, and team building and facilitation services. Stepping Stone Consulting will help you achieve the high-performance teams and program management sustainability your company desires. Stepping Stone Consulting builds strong partnerships with its clients based on trust, communication, integrity, and dependability. Visit steppingstone-llc.com to find out more about our services. You know that an improved team means improved productivity and a better bottom line. Put Stepping Stone Consultants to work for you. Contact us at kstewart@steppingstone-llc.com or call 703-620-2010 today. We hear it and read about it every day in the news.
America is heading over a fiscal cliff. Home prices are still receding and unemployment growing.
How can you preserve and increase your wealth in this kind of economy? Tune in to Turning Hard Times into Good Times with host Jay Taylor. Jay will explain the decline of our monetary system and the economy and will give you winning investment ideas and the tools to protect and increase your wealth. Turning Hard Times into Good Times with Jay Taylor can be heard Tuesdays at 3 p.m. Eastern Time, 12 noon Pacific Time on the Voice America Business Channel.
We're always talking business.
Talk to an expert.
Call now, toll free, 866-472-5790. That's 866-472-5790. Voice America Business Network.
You are tuned in to Stepping Stones to Everyday Success with Kimberly Stewart. We want to hear from you today with your questions and comments. Please call into the program today at 1-866-472-5790. That's 1-866-472-5790. Or send an email to kstewart@steppingstone-llc.com. Now, back to the show.
Welcome back, Voice America listeners. Thank you for tuning in to Stepping Stones to Everyday Success. I'm your host, Kimberly Stewart, and I'm on with Kevin Morris. He's an entertainment lawyer as well as author of The White Man's Problems. It's a series of 9 short stories that we've been hearing about. And to find out more about the book and Kevin, you can always go to kevinmorrisauthor.com and learn more about it. But Kevin, we've been talking about White Man's Problems, and you're writing the fiction and short stories. But by trade, you are an entertainment lawyer. Why do you think you, as an entertainment lawyer, make a good fiction author?
Well, I guess the first thing I would say is that I'm not sure that it helped. And I think in some ways I had to overcome it. Luckily, being a lawyer for artists has kept me in the artistic realm, and I represent some fantastic artists. So I've been exposed to art at the highest level, in my view. So I've got to be in and around it. On the other hand, you know, there's the age-old problem of breaking out of what you do for a living. No one wants to see you as something different than you already are. So. There's a certain, if you're a lawyer, people like to see you as a lawyer, especially if you've been a lawyer for 25 years. If, you know, you're a radio host, people like to see you as a radio host, you know, and when you take on a different profession or when you take on something differently, especially trying to be a writer, I found that people are skeptical. So it certainly hasn't been my proximity to the publishing world that has, you know, that's helped me become a writer. I think, again, I deal in the world of movies and television, and I specifically moved away from that and into the world of fiction. So, you know, I'm not sure, and there's a lot of things about being a lawyer and the way that lawyers write that are actually not that helpful for fiction. You know, you have to be very factual. You have to be, you know, you have to be argumentative. Very often, lawyers are repetitive, waste a lot of words, bore, you know, you have to kind of, bore people. at times advocacy requires pushing the realm of credibility, which, you know, means pushing the realm of not being dishonest, but pushing the realm of credibility. And, you know, you just can't do that in fiction. You can't be dishonest in fiction. It has to be, it comes from your imagination, but it has to really come from your heart and be real. And I think the first thing a reader gets turned off by in reading fiction is something that's not, is a non-truth, is an untruth, a non-truth, something that's not true.
So from what I heard, you have to throw out all your principles of being a lawyer and do the exact opposite to be a fiction writer.
Well, you know, a lot of times being a lawyer means you got to include everything in the kitchen sink, and a lot of times being a fiction writer means you got to remove as much as possible and leave as much as possible to the imagination, and keep things vague. You know, or I think life is vague. Life is unpredictable. Life is ambiguous, you know. And as a lawyer, your job sometimes is to eliminate ambiguity.
Yeah.
Whereas I think life is ambiguous, and so, you know, sometimes you have to write ambiguity, and you have to write open-ended stuff and stuff that's not easy or solvable. And you know, and that's how you capture human stuff. Being a lawyer can where you're constantly being asked to solve problems and get results and put the questions behind us or behind the clients. Sometimes the questions, as an author, as a fiction writer, sometimes the questions need to be left hanging.
Right. You know, and I think you've talked a little bit about it, but I'll give you another opportunity to add anything about what you've learned from Hollywood. You've talked about collaboration. You talked about creativity that you've been able to apply to your time dedicated to fiction writing. Is there other aspects of that, you know, immersion in the Hollywood culture that has helped you with your fiction writing?
Well, I mean, without being negative, I would say that Hollywood is something that runs a lot on reflected, what I call reflected glory. You know, there's a lot of people that are around a lot of stars and other people that are doing really well, and they kind of bask in the reflected glory of the lights. And I think that's a false reality, and I don't really think that, you know, not that one should seek one's own glory, but, you know, reflected glory is no good for anyone, and it's taken me, you know, I think I learned that pretty early, but it takes a while to break away from it, because it's seductive. But reflected glory is really ultimately, at the end of the day, really not, it is a toxic thing, I think, and that is maybe not the nicest thing to say, but that's one of the things I've learned from Hollywood. It's like having a diet of nothing but cotton candy.
Right. Yeah, you can't live on it.
You can't live on it as much as some people try to.
Right. So, you know, getting into that lesson of you can't live on cotton candy, and what are one or two experiences you have had that you feel have helped define who you are today?
Well, I mean, one or two things that have sort of shaped me, or one of the two things is that what you're asking me? One of the two things that have...
When you think back on who you are today, is there one or two instances, situations, things that happened to you that say, you know, that was a turning point for me, or that really helped me on this path?
Well, you know, one is you know, I come from a real hard helmet, you know, a real hard hat background, a real blue collar background, and I really wanted to. I didn't have the greatest of childhoods, and I wanted to, you know, I love my mother to death. My mother's the best person in the world, but I really wanted to. My nature was to, you know, I come from a place where people sort of tend to stay around home, and I think a lot of people have this issue where family stays put, and I really wanted to get out in the world, and the fact that I was able to sort of leave home and get myself out at college age was a big turning point, and expose myself to the vulnerability of that. And I got to Cornell, and it really opened the world to me. I met a lot of kids, and Cornell opens a lot of doors, and that was really great. And then I think beyond that, I've never really been afraid to. I think the thing that's changed me is I've never been afraid to take risks or to jump off the ledge and be over my head, you know. And that's made all the difference. If you know, and given the choice between trying something and not trying it and playing it safe, I've almost always gone for the risk, and that's helped me immeasurably. So I don't, you know, great confidence comes from that once you survive it. And I would say starting my own law practice, you know, sitting, you know, breaking away to write a book, you know, I quit drinking a long time ago, things like that. Traveling around a lot, just different things that involve risk and breaking the mold. Are the things I think that I look back on as the defining aspects of my personal life.
What has been your biggest professional risk that you have taken?
Well, I think I went out and started my own law firm when I was 32, which was, you know, in the entertainment field, which was pretty much unheard of. It's a very small field. It was dominated by a few small firms, and what we did was really pretty, I went out on my own by myself, and then some friends joined me gradually until we're now in our 20th year, and we have 22 attorneys and 45 employees, and, represent a who's who of people, and have had a lot of good fortune. So, you know, professionally, just deciding to strike out on my own, and not sort of, not, as I say, not die behind my desk at somebody else's firm was really critical.
Yeah. So quickly before the next break, what advice do you have for that young professional who's just starting out in their career?
Well, I have a story in the book actually called Starting Out. It's about a young man who comes to a law firm in Los Angeles and begins his career. And he's afraid that he's going to get fired any moment of every day, which is, you know, one of the facts of corporate life. I'm not going to give away that story because it kind of goes a little differently than maybe I would advise. But the thing I would advise to people just starting out is I'm going to go a different way with this answer, which is to read, which is to absorb as much information as possible. I think when you're a young person facing the world that we're facing, all information has value, and I think we live in the information age, and there's just so much to learn and so much to absorb, and there's so much free information out there. There's so much wonderful writing. There's so much available on the internet that, you know, there's really no field that you can't. There's no field or no area that you can't teach yourself a lot in, and so I tell people who are beginning out that all information has value. Everything you go through in chasing your chosen field or profession has value. Even if you fail, it has value because you'll learn not to go down there. I wish I was 20 again, because I think the world's going to change in a lot of great ways in the next 50 years, especially for people who have the fortune to be in our country and anywhere really, in most places around the world. I think a lot of great things are going to happen, I've always been a vociferous reader, and I think the absorption of information is how you learn, and when you learn and when you have the power of knowledge, you can do it all.
That's great advice, and it's time for another break. So you're listening to Stepping Stones to Everyday Success. I'm your host, Kimberly Stewart, and we are on with Kevin Morris. And we'll see you after this break.
From the boardroom to you, Voice America Business Network. If you've ever wanted to know the inner workings of how auctions work, you'll want to tune in to Ed Spencer's American Auction View. Auctions establish markets and commerce that affect everyone in our country. Whether it's land, real estate, livestock, automobiles, collectibles, or household goods, people are turning auction items into cash in nearly every business market in the world. You can find out more about this unique and engaging industry every Wednesday at 8 p.m. Eastern Time, 5 p.m. Pacific on the Voice America Business Channel.
Stepping Stone Consulting, LLC is a woman-owned small business focused on providing the stepping stones to program management success. We offer our government, nonprofit, and small business clients experienced program management professionals to meet their program's critical needs. Stepping Stone Consultants will meet your organization's programmatic requirements with short-term or long-term resources, coaching new program managers, and team building and facilitation services. Stepping Stone Consulting will help you achieve the high-performance teams and program management sustainability your company desires. Stepping Stone Consulting builds strong partnerships with its clients based on trust, communication, integrity, and dependability. Visit steppingstone-llc.com to find out more about our services. You know that an improved team means improved productivity and a better bottom line. Put Stepping Stone Consultants to work for you. Contact us at kstewart@steppingstone-llc.com or call 703-620-2010 today.
Are you ready for what happens next? If you have your investments, retirement planning, and business plans all in a row, you're probably set. But are you really all that sure? Listen to In Black and Whites with host Peter Whites. Peter and his guests will cover business and investment topics that you need to know about right now. Whether it's new technology, 401k plans, mergers and acquisitions, we're here to help you. In Black and Whites airs live Tuesdays at 10 a.m. Eastern Time, 7 a.m. Pacific Time on Voice America Business.
Follow us on Twitter at VoiceAmericaTRN. Get the lowdown on guests, new shows, and your favorites. That's VoiceAmericaTRN.
You are tuned in to Stepping Stones to Everyday Success with Kimberly Stewart. We want to hear from you today with your questions and comments. Please call into the program today at 1-866-472-5790. That's 1-866-472-5790. Or send an email to kstewart@steppingstone-llc.com. Now, back to the show.
Welcome back, Voice America listeners. Thank you for tuning back into Stepping Stones to Everyday Success. I'm your host, Kimberly Stewart, and I'm on with Kevin Morris. He's an entertainment lawyer and author of White Man's Problems, which debuted, I guess, June 3rd. It came out, and it's a set of 9 short stories. We've been hearing about those stories, and hopefully we've intrigued you enough to go check it out. You can always check it out on kevinmorrisauthor.com also. And, Kevin, is it on Amazon.com?
It's on Amazon.com, BarnesandNoble.com. It's on Kindle, every form of e-book. Almost anywhere on the Internet. A lot of independent bookstores, but if you go on Amazon or Barnes & Noble or any of the internet places or any of the ebook places, any of the ebook
places. Yeah, wonderful. And so hopefully our listeners will go and check it out. And if by chance you need me to email you guys, you or post the website, actually I will post Kevin's website on my Facebook page. So another reason to go out and like my Facebook. So Kevin, we've been talking about you being an author and also an entertainment lawyer. But if you were not an author or an entertainment lawyer, what would you be?
Well, I would definitely do some. You threw me for a loop there because I thought you were going to ask me if I was going to be anything other than an entertainment lawyer, because I'm one of the fortunate people that's having an opportunity to be the other thing I would be, which is an artist and a writer. I would definitely do if I was not involved in entertainment law, and I couldn't write fiction. I'd be doing something in the humanities, you know, trying to write nonfiction or history or trying to teach or something like that. I believe that, you know, the one unfortunate thing about the time we live in is that it's a time of technology ascendant. I think technologists and the advance of technology is outpacing, you know, the advance of the humanities and that's, you know, that can be dangerous. I think I think in the arts and sciences equation, the arts is for me, the arts are more important, and the sciences are kind of, in my view, the sciences are kind of taking over a little bit too much. Mm-hmm. I will always I think for the rest of my life toil on the side of the arts and in favor of the arts and working as an artist, and it's one of the things that I write about a lot, and I'm going to write about a lot, is that balance between technology, the arts, and the scientists, that balance between arts and sciences, doesn't go one way forever. You know, the guys from the computer science department don't get to run the world forever. You know, it'll come back.
You're right. Well, you can also be the author that you would have been if you weren't in entertainment law. But I think that being in the humanities field is a great alternative. And in reality, you are in the humanities field as being an author in fiction. So that brings me to, what is your favorite book? Do you have a favorite book? And you can't put White Man's Problems as your favorite book. I will take that out of it.
I won't cite White Man's Problems. My favorite book and my favorite writer is John Updike. My favorite writer is John Updike, and my favorite book is Rabbit Run, which I believe was the book that, you know, for me is as close to the great American novel as comes. You know, I'm biased. I'm from the same area in the country, and he was alive during my lifetime, but I always try to encourage people to, now that he's left us, I always try to encourage people to just look into Updike. You know, to me, he was the most fearless, prolific, honest lawyer, honest writer of our time. And if you look at his output, and he not only wrote more than anyone else, he wrote 5 or 10 times more than anyone else. When you really, there's a great new biography about Updike out by Adam Begley, and there'll be several more, I'm sure. But I mean, he was, what a writer, just what a writer. The short story is, he had 10 books of poems. He wrote incredible criticism. He wrote about art. He wrote the great American, to me, the great American novel, which is Rabbit Run, which, in 1960, he decided to write a novel in the present tense, which just in and of itself was genius. And, the idea he said that Rabbit was he wrote about himself a lot, and his life is closely mirrored in his books and his stories. And he's the protagonist really himself. But Rabbit was the one. Rabbit was the one character that was definitely not him, and he said Rabbit was a slot that he could drop through to comment on American life. And I think if you look at the 4 Rabbit books, it's really just the best, most keenly, slyly observed statement about American culture in the post-war 20th century, and I just believe the guy's prose and writing was phenomenal.
Yes, and you know, I loved reading John Updike and Rabbit Run, so I might need to check that out again. We've got about a minute left, so I'm going to ask you one last question. What practical advice can you give others to help them be successful every day?
I think you need to build an invisible structure. I think you need to build a structure of the things that are important to you. You need to build four or five of them, and they're in your head. That's why I call them the invisible structure. You know, whether it's time with your family, time at your profession, time, you know, working out, keeping your body straight, and time with your passion, you know, and I would evaluate each day against, you know, how well you've maintained that invisible structure. Have that disciplined structure. Pick those things that are important to you. Make them difficult. You know, don't overlook any one of them. And if in one given day you missed one of them or you didn't do one of them well, you have the next day. And then live life one day at a time. And you know, if you have a bad day that's not perfectly balanced in your invisible structure, try to do better the next day. But if you have four or five items, you know, try to hit them all. And over time, the aggregation of time and the aggregation of doing that, I think, leads to a lot of success. If you can find your invisible structure and your inner discipline to do that, and everybody can.
Yep, I think that is great. And you hit the other question that we always ask, what to do when you have a bad day. So thank you very much. Thank you, Kevin, for being on the show, sharing us White Man's Problems. Again, you can check it out and you can buy it at Amazon.com or any of the book sellers out there on the net. So thank you, Kevin, and we will see everyone and hopefully have you guys tune in next week to Stepping Stones to Everyday Success. Have a great week.
Thanks again for joining us this week for Stepping Stones to Everyday Success. Please join your host, Kimberly Stewart, again next Tuesday at 3 p.m. Pacific Time, 6 p.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Business Channel. This week, take one more step to find your success.